Hi guys, this is Jen, and you are listening to Renewed and Redeemed Podcast. I'm coming to you from Virginia Beach, where testimonies will be shared, and the light of God's truth will illuminate our hearts through the Word of God. Scripture states that Jesus is the cornerstone, and the gospel is our solid rock on which we stand. It is also a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. A few years ago, God revealed to me that I was walking my feelings, experiences, and works, while neglecting the simplistic gospel and the meta-narrative of Scripture. This left me confused, my sanctification process stagnant, and painting God in a light that was neither true or biblical. God is holy, and His Word is how we as followers of Christ can truly know Him, His Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Searching the Word will also show us how to become more like Christ, surrender, love others, and live a life that honors and glorifies God. Come join me and be encouraged as we take a dive into the Word, sort through theological topics, and become renewed and redeemed through the light of Jesus Christ. This episode will be on the omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence of God. After looking at the gospel, it's crucial that we jump into the attributes of God. John Calvin said, "Without knowledge of God, there is no knowledge of self." To understand who we are, our sinful nature, and the need for a redemptive Savior, we need to be able to acknowledge and understand who God is. Before we jump into the three omnis, let's ask a simple question. And I know, Jen, why do we need to ask what is an attribute? Well, because we are very simple-minded creatures. We like to know where things start, the root of beginnings, and how it all works together. So, before we get caught up in the deeper things, asking this will give us a starting point, and then we can build up from there. What is an attribute? Webster Dictionary says, an attribute is a quality or feature regarded as a characteristic or inherent part of someone or something. In simple terms, a word to describe who someone is. This can be physical. In 1 Samuel, when Samuel is looking for the Lord's anointed, David is described as, "Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome." It can be a personality trait. Abraham was known as faithful as he sought the Lord. Or a characteristic. Matthew 11:29 states, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart. We can see all throughout Scripture that Jesus had a compassionate heart for the Jews, religious leaders, Gentiles, and all sinners. Now that we have a baseline for what an attribute is, we can go to the next step. What attributes solely describe God, which is referred to as His nature? Understanding God's nature will help us to be able to distinguish that only God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. So let's jump into God's nature. God's nature are the attributes that only God can have because He is God. The Westminster Shorter Catechism gives a good description. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In His being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. These attributes distinguish God from us. Genesis 1:26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness." So, we are made in the likeness of God, but we are not God. God is holy, humans are unrighteous. Psalm 99 says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy." Now, Romans 3:23 talks about our unrighteousness. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Second, God is spirit. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in us if we're regenerated, but we have flesh and a body. Third, God is infinite, and we are finite. We are bound by time, space, and our body. We've got skin that holds everything together. God is not bound by time, space, or a body. Psalm 147:5 says, Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Fourth, God is unchangeable. Malachi 3:6, For I, the Lord, do not change. You guys, we change our minds all the time. Romans 12:2 says, But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Holy Spirit is constantly changing us to look more like Christ. And the one that we're going to be really focusing on is God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful, omnipotent, and all-present, omnipresent. We don't know everything. We are not all-powerful, and we can't be everywhere at once. So, there is a clear distinction of who God is, his unique godly nature, and what we as his creation cannot be. The big picture is God is all-knowing, meaning he knows everything in the past, present, and future. God is all-present, meaning he is capable of being present everywhere and in all things. And God is all-powerful, having supreme power and no limitations. So, what is omniscience, and how do we go deeper into that? Omniscience is the nature of God that describes his innate ability to know everything, all past, all present, and all future. Omni is the Latin translation for the word all, and scientia translates to knowledge. If he knows everything, there is nothing he is unaware of. This means how the world works, how we as his creation functions, and every minute detail in our daily lives before, here, now, and forevermore. He is intricately involved and nothing is a surprise. Not only does he understand how all of this works, but he plays a divine role. Compared to God's omniscience, humans cannot know everything. We can obtain knowledge from taking in factual information about certain topics. We can observe the world around us and form a statement of truth based on what we visually see. But no matter how much we learn, we will always be limited. 1 Corinthians 13:12 explains this perfectly. For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. There are certain components of life we will never get to understand, because God hasn't allowed us. This is for his good and perfect will. And because God is outside of everything, he doesn't have the need to learn anything. He also doesn't forget either. Isaiah 49:15-17, Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. So while man is flippant, fickle, and forgetting who God is, which sometimes, you guys, we unfortunately do if we're not rooted in our word. But even then, God remembers. This means we can be rest assured and trust that God, knowing all, is for our ultimate good. God's omniscience doesn't just stop at him, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit, so the Trinity, are fully omniscient too. 1 John 3:20, For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows everything. Even when the lies from our own hearts and minds plague us, God knows this, and His Spirit will counteract those thoughts with truth. Another verse, Psalm 139:4, even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. God knows our thoughts before we even speak. Matthew 10:29-30, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside Your Father's care, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows everything that will happen to us and knows every single detail about us, even down to the hairs on our head. We even see Jesus relaying to His disciples that He would be crucified on the cross before the event took place. Mark 9:30-32. He said to them, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill Him, and after 3 days, He will rise." Jesus was telling His disciples that He was going to the cross. And that just shows His omniscience, that He knew that that would happen before it did. Now, while we can't possibly know all due to our finite understanding, as we step into the throne of grace, repent, and let Jesus change our hearts and minds, we can begin to understand God's redemptive plan. As we seek the scriptures, ask and knock, God will pull back the blinders, open those doors, so that we may see His truth. What is omnipresence? Omnipresence is the nature of God that indicates He is all present. Same with omniscience. Omni translates to all, and presence is pretty straightforward. You guys can guess that. God is all present or everywhere. So what does this mean? God is present in all things at all times. This means He is capable of being everywhere at the same time. A.W. Tozer states this very well. The word present, of course, means here, close to, and next to. God is everywhere here, close to everything, next to everyone. Because His knowledge and power are in all of creation, there is no area or place that God does not inhabit. Christians are not deistic evolutionists. God didn't just put His creation and laws into motion and then, once the ball was rolling, stepped away to let us fend for ourselves. He is here with each of us, intervening every single day, moment, hour, minute, and down to every second. We can see in Psalm 139, it talks about God's presence both in place and time. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted in all my ways. Where shall I go from Your Spirit? Or where shall I flee from Your presence? If I ascend to heaven, You are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, You are there. First, we see that the Lord knows all of us. He knows our thoughts, intentions, and actions before we can even speak. We then see three places where David is explaining that God can be present in all places at once. God is present in His Spirit, and we cannot hide from Him. God is present in heaven, and God is present in Sheol. Man cannot hide from God. We cannot hide from God, you guys. Nowhere. He sees all. Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. God is the creator of the heavens and earth, and the creator of time. He was present before the earth began, and He will be present at the end of the age. Psalm 147:5. Great is our Lord, and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. God is infinite, which means He has no limits. This, then, translates that God's presence is not limited. A.W. Tozer says, God is our environment, as the sea is to the fish and the air to the birds. Since God is our environment, he constantly is interacting with us. Think about how Jesus came into the world, fully man and fully God, and interacted with creation. In Matthew 9, we see Jesus calling Matthew the tax collector to come and follow him. So Jesus interacts with man and asks him to lay down his job, lay down his identity, and asks him into partnership with him, to follow him in the ministry that he would soon reveal. John 4 is about the Samaritan woman at the well. We see Jesus exercising not only his connection with people, but also his knowledge of the woman's sins. He reaches out, interacts, exposes, and if you guys have read the story, she's changed forever. She goes into her village and she spreads the gospel. She spreads the good news of Jesus exposing her sins so that she could be changed forever. Through these significant interactions with man, and there's so many more in Scripture, he willingly went to the cross to be crucified, tearing the veil that separated us from God. He rose from the grave, and through his Spirit, interacts with his creatures in creation every day, convicting the world of sin and bringing the gospel through his believers. Lastly, we're going to look at omnipotence. So omnipotence is the nature of God defining his all-perfect, good, and holy power. Again, omni is the translation for all, and potens, or potentis, I think that's how you say it, means strong or powerful. God has power over all things, at all times, in all ways. Hallelujah. This means everything is under submission to him. We can see God's power from the very beginning of him speaking creation into existence. Several times in Genesis 1, God says, "Let there be." And a few words later, it says, "And it was so." God's very breath has control over how the world was created. We can also see that when God created Adam, he gave him tools and materials to create. God speaks, and everything is created from nothing. Psalm 33:6 states, "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth." Again, we see that God creates just by opening his mouth, the very breath of God. And poof, it happens. That's pretty amazing. We cannot do that. I cannot speak a tree into existence. I cannot manifest things into existence. I do not have that power. God is also in control over provision with everything we need. Matthew 6:26 states, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" He preserves his creation and keeps things in order so that we will not die. He gives us everything that we need. Just think about gravity, the placement of the earth to the sun, how the oceans are held back. There is intentional design, and God is in control. Now, this does not mean that God can do things out of line with his holy character. God cannot lie. Titus 1:2. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. God cannot perform any immoral acts that contradict his character. Numbers 23:19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? So everything that happens, like natural disasters, poverty, our personal suffering, you guys, it's all in God's control. God never sins, nor tempts anyone to sin, but works through the sin of morally responsible creatures to bring about his purposes of displaying his redeeming grace and glorious justice. God has absolute and total control over everything. This means the very subtle, unique coincidences in life that we think are just random, that is all in God's plan. The ultimate display of God's good, perfect, and holy power was Jesus going to the cross and suffering a horrible death, raising from the grave 3 days later, and allowing us to have the Holy Spirit in us. This was not only in God's total control, but this led to our freedom and salvation from the wrath and justice of God. So I know that that was quite a bit, but to wrap this all up and come full circle, we have a God who is knowledgeable, powerful, and present in all things at all times in every way. In his knowledge, he is aware of his creation and creatures. He is aware of our ugliness and sin, and still gave us a way of redemption through his son, Jesus. In his presence, he is with us as his people. He is not here to destroy, but to save us through the redemptive covenant of the gospel. In his power, he is over all and in control. We don't have to worry about one single thing, but put our trust in Jesus and rest in that promise. He is for us, and he is for you, whoever's listening. He is for you. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. No matter what you're walking through, no matter the season that you're in, whether it's in the deep, deep valleys or the high mountaintops, God is present. And he is in control. And he's all-knowing of what you're going through right now. And I just want to encourage you, as someone who has walked through a lot, and I mean a lot, he is your constant. He is your cornerstone. He is your firm foundation. And he will neither leave you nor forsake you. He is with you in all the things. He is your peace, he is your comfort, he is your light, he is your guide. And he knows it all. And as someone that just went through a really tough season of slipping a disc in her back and having to quit her job and getting a new job and still struggling with pain, I can tell you that I have experienced more love and peace and joy of the Lord than I have ever felt. So God uses our struggles and our circumstances to shape us, to draw us closer to him, and so that he ultimately can show us his presence, that he is with us. Thanks, guys. Thanks for joining me on Renewed and Redeemed. I'm Jen Stone. I hope that word of God's nature was encouraging, challenging, draws you deeper into knowing your Creator, leads you further into sanctification, and directs your path to hope and salvation of the good, good, sweet gospel. Make sure to follow me on Instagram at Renewed and Redeemed Podcast. I'll be putting out reels, videos, and podcast episodes when I can. And remember, Jesus died on the cross for your wickedness, drew you to his throne of grace, and set you free in his eternal life so that you could have life and life abundantly. See you next time.